Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to another episode of We're Not Fucking Historians with me, Shane Todd, and her. Are you allowed to say that?
I think you're allowed to say her, yeah. Hazel Hayes? Yeah. Is that me? Are you referring to me?
That's only what I'm going to refer to you as.
Her.
Hazel Hayes, the cat's mother. Have you ever heard that phrase or is that just
a Belfast
phrase?
It used to do my tits in, that phrase. Who's she, the cat's mother? No, she is the woman I'm referring to by using the pronoun she, which is the correct fucking pronoun for her over there. So I don't know what your problem is. I don't know why would we have made the word. It's like saying, you know, the book. Whose book? The cat's fucking mother's book? No, the book. Like I'm just using a pronoun to refer to it because that's how the language works. Like what? Anyway, that clearly was in there and needed to come out.
Hazel.
Shane.
We're recording this via the medium of the internet.
Yes, we are.
I don't know how that works, but all I know is I'm in Northern Ireland, you are in London.
Terribly far away.
And via the medium of the World Wide Web, we're recording this. Now, we are far away, but you were further away recently. Let me ask you a question. Why were you in Kenya? Were you out there, you know, off the back of this podcast? Were the Kenyan people like, let's get our favourite half, you know, controversially, of the We're Not Fucking Historians podcast crew out to talk to us? Or like, what were you doing there?
Well, what it is I like... What I do is I just sort of tour about all the countries that the stupid Brits colonized, and I find I make immediate friends for life there, because what you do, you just strike up a conversation about the British, we all hate them together, and then you've made a friend. I had a great time. They loved me. They love the Irish over there.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Biggest animal you shot?
Shane, don't do that. Don't do that. I would never.
I'm so sorry.
But the biggest animal I saw was an elephant.
Wow, you shot an elephant?
Fuck you. Fuck you. Okay, edit that so I just say an elephant.
Yeah.
But it was lovely. I got talking to quite a few people who were a little like reticent at first. And then, but as soon as I said I was Irish, straight in. Friends for life. They love it. And then I was able to sort of get talking to them, and turns out they got their independence in 1963. And one of them didn't even know Ireland had been colonized by the British. And so I was like, oh yeah, same, 1921. And they were like, no way, you two. I was like, yeah, a little bit before you. How's it working out? Like, we've got 40 years on you. It's good so far. Yeah, they love it. It's great.
Now, were you away with anyone English?
Yeah.
That's awkward for them. That's 100% awkward for them.
No,
just sitting in the back
there
of a Jeep.
Like, sorry. To be fair, I will say this. Every single person I met, everyone we met was just so lovely. Like, regardless, they were so lovely. And it reminded me, and I kept saying this to people, although they didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. It felt like being in Kerry. It felt like being down the country in Ireland, in a little village where everyone knows everyone, and they just want to feed you. They just want to feed you and take care of you. That's all they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, that, I don't know if you know, but is the official tourism slogan angle that the Kenyan government like to bring out. You could be in Kerry. That's what they say.
You could be in Kerry. There's lions, but hey, you could be in Kerry.
We are going to delve into a big subject this week.
Yeah.
It's a fun one. I mean, it's not... I mean, as per, yes, there's a lot of murder.
How many people get slaughtered?
Too many. A lot.
A lot. A lot. Okay.
This week, on this episode, we're talking about Nile of the Nine Hostages. Do you know anything, Hazel, about Nile and the Nine Hostages?
Niall. I know that his name was Niall.
Yes.
And he had 9 hostages. Or what? Or was one of 9 hostages who were being held somewhere?
You're closer to it at the start. Niall, spoiler alert, is a guy that absolutely loved to take hostages.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Niall.
Yeah, this is one of those ones I like because Niall is a semi-mythical Irish king.
Oh, one of these guys. Okay. We also haven't had like just a full-on cretin for a while.
I wouldn't say he comes, I don't think he comes across as one of the worst. Definitely not.
But he just likes to take hostages.
He takes the odd hostage. Okay, I'm not saying the guy doesn't like to let off a bit of steam and enjoy himself. I'm not saying the guy doesn't like a bit of crack. I'm saying
he's not
up there with the worst that we've done.
Okay.
But Niall and the 9 hostages do sound like a band that would have supported Damien Rice back in the day.
Oh, Damo Rice. I was such a little fangirl for him. Yeah, I really was.
You know, throw in the odd foot tapper. You know what I mean? They don't all need to be ballads, mate. But Niall was a semi-mythical Irish king, which I like because these stories are always a little bit grander. They're always a little bit more magical.
Bit weird.
Yeah, and there's room for stuff to be just genuine lies, which is great.
Yeah, 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 which we love.
Niall was an ancestor of the O'Neill dynasties, you know, tomato, tomato, that dominated the northern half of Ireland and reigned from 6th to the 10th century in Ireland. So he was an ancestor of a very, very, very powerful kingdom or empire, whatever you want to call it, the O'Neills. And that is something that I'm going to bring back in at the end, the word O'Neill. So some people say that Niall of the 9 hostages, and we'll get to his nickname, his reign was, they're guessing around the late 4th, early 5th centuries, although some modern scholars like us, you know, some modern historians like me and you, Hazel, reckon it was about half a century later. But he is presumed by some to have been a real person, or at the very least, a semi-historical figure. But most of the information about him is kind of like legendary. There's a lot of hearsay about him, but he might have been a real guy. He's like Harry Potter. He might be real, he might not.
I don't think Harry Potter is real at all.
Well, you're in the more, you know, negative camp.
There's a lot of
people like myself who genuinely think that, you know, he might have been a real person.
Okay. You could have said, you could have said Jesus, but you've said Harry Potter.
Yeah, but Jesus is, I mean, we know Jesus wasn't real, but we're not sure about Harry Potter. Here's the thing. Here's what we're going to set up. This is big Irish family drama early in Niall's life. All right, there's a lot of shenanigans that go on. There's a lot of family shit, and we're going to try and get through it. So this is...
Title of my fucking autobiography, Shane.
A legendary account of Niall's birth comes from the 11th century. The account comes from the adventure of the sons of, and I am going to disrespect the Irish language so hard here by trying to pronounce this, Eochaid Mugmedan. That's not what it is. But in this account, the High King of Ireland has 5 sons, right? He has 4 by his first wife, and her name, and this is right, is Mongfind.
Mongfind.
Mongfind?
Mongfind.
That's his wife, Mongfind.
Great.
Now, I'm sure if you were the wife of a king back then, you must have been like, you know, had some beauty about you, because the king... You know, they were like very entitled, would always, a lot of time, pick the most beautiful woman in the land or the town or whatever. But I'm struggling to see Mongfind as a stunner. Mongfind? Mongfind sounds like she was working the plough. Mongfind was definitely playing hurling for sure before she met the king. So the High King of Ireland has 5 sons.
Okay.
He has 4 by Mongfind, who's gross.
You've decided.
Yeah.
Great.
And a 5th, who is Niall, by his second wife, who, by the way, genuinely was called Karen.
No.
Yeah, she's called Karen. But of course, it's spelt in a weird Irish way, and I can say that. I'm allowed to say that.
Sure.
So what happened is the King of Ireland was with Mongfind, had 4 sons as he was the High King, and then he basically had a roving eye, and he said to Mongfind, this isn't working. So he has taken up with Karen, who was the daughter of the King of the Saxons. So she was English.
Fucking Karen. She probably went in to complain to the manager, and that's how she fucking met him.
Yeah, that she wasn't married to a High King of Ireland. And
excuse me, I'm not actually married to the High King. And I'd like to see your supervisor.
Them getting together is big because her dad is the King of the Saxons. He's the Irish High King. So you might think with her background and the fact she's marrying the Irish High King that she's going to move into a life of opulence and riches and just have a great time.
She might fucking shut up and stop complaining for once.
Well, the only person complaining is Monfind. Monfind sticks about and really, really makes life hell for Karen. Because Karen's gets pregnant with Niall. And Monfind, as soon as Karen moves over, Monfind doesn't move out of the castle and just forces Karen to do like heavy labour, to do work. She's making her draw water from a well. And everyone in the kingdom is scared of Monfind, including the king. Including the High King of Ireland. Bear in mind, that's his title. Shit scared of his ex. Shit scared
so
of his ex.
So controversial. Do you think she's maybe like the OG Karen? Do you think this is how it happened?
She's the original Karen.
This is
her origin story.
This is like how she became the Joker.
Yeah.
Some bitch was just really mean to her for a while.
But here's the thing. Karen wasn't... Well, I was going to say she wasn't mean to her. She sort of has stolen her husband. But the king basically went over, brought Karen back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's more the king's fault.
I mean, she'd every right to be upset. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. But what she does is... She really takes her anger out on Karen and she basically makes her a slave. She makes her work for her. No one in the kingdom, no one in the castle is challenging her on this. They just kind of let Karen work away and they're scared of Monfind. Karen gets pregnant with Niall. Mm-hmm. As she's pregnant, Monfind just makes her work harder. Monfind's like, here, we're doubling your shifts, big guy.
Jesus Christ, she's like Amazon.
To the point. Where Karen is going to draw water from the well for the village, and she has Niall as she's going to get the water, just like on a grass bank, just in the middle of nowhere, and out of fear of Monfind, Karen just leaves the baby on the ground.
Classic historical behaviour, isn't it? Oh. They're always just putting kids in baskets and leaving them places, sending them down rivers. And it always comes back to bite them in the ass. Like, that kid is never gone for good. Never.
The only river here is the river of anger coming from Monfin's big fat head. She would have had a big head, I don't know. So Karen, scared of Monfind, leaves the child on the ground because she's just so scared. She knows Monfin's never going to accept the child. The kid's just exposed to the elements and stays there. Until the baby's rescued and brought up by a poet called Torna.
Good for them.
Who must be shit because I've never heard of him.
Oh.
he was brutal.
Fair.
I mean, it's a pretty cool name. Torna sounds like it could be like a clothing brand, you know, DJ would launch. But he saves Niall. He and his wife take Niall in and raise him. They do a great job. They're lovely people. Beautiful people, really nice, really look after him. When Niall gets a little bit older, he hears the story of his mother, of Karen, of the High King of Ireland, and about Monfind. And Niall basically says, like, nah, not having that, because he hears that his mother is still being treated the same way. So Niall's grown up by this point. He's become a man, and he decides that he's going to go and look after his mother and step up to the plate.
When you say look after his mother, do you mean just go... kill a bunch of people on her behalf?
I think he's thinking it would be pretty cool to be the king.
Okay, just so we're clear, he's not gonna go just like bring her some muffins and cookies and
no. Okay, he heads towards the castle where the High King
does. He raise an army?
He doesn't raise an army.
Oh fuck,
not yet.
We haven't had anyone raise an army in a while.
Hey, he's barely been raised himself.
Hey-o.
So what happens is Niall shows up years later. And Monfind is absolutely fuming.
Livid.
She's like, there's no way. He goes over to his mother. He finds his mother again drawing water. She has to draw water from a well. He goes up to her and he's like, listen, your boy's home. And she says, I don't have a son. She's just so scared to have this child. She was so scared at the time that she just blanks it out. He goes, listen, ma, look at my face. And she must have gone, hey, he looks a bit like me. Because she's like, yes. He says, you're not going to be drawing water anymore. You're going to be taken care of. Takes his mum, marches into the castle. And he's like, Monfind, Listen here, you dick.
See you, you stupid bitch.
Yeah,
I'll have you at our school. That's what he said to her.
You big dick. He says, listen, I'm here. I'm here. I'm not here to take part. I'm here to take over.
I'm here to take hostages, maybe.
And Mongfin says to the king, like, look, this isn't your son. The king takes one look at him and he goes, yeah, that's my boy. That's my boy. This very day, Mongfin says to the king, the High King of Ireland, we need to retire. You need to step back from your duties, your royal duties.
Yeah.
You need to appoint a successor. So it's got to be E-O-C-H-A-I-D, which is probably like, I'm going to say it's Eochid. Owen, but it's Eochid.
Eochid. E-O-C-H-A-I-D.
Egghead. Is that what you
egghead.
Said?
Let's right. call him Egghead.
She says, Egghead's the oldest, right? You've got to appoint Egghead as your successor.
Egghead the High King. Yeah.
No, Egghead was the High King. Shit. Oh no. Yeah.
Okay,
Egghead's the High King. Mongfin goes, King Egghead, you need to appoint a successor right now. Egghead's like, right, okay, no problem. We'll have a fair contest. She goes, no, just pick your oldest son. Obviously, her son, Breon. And Egghead's like, nah, I need to find a druid because we need to get a contest going amongst the brothers and we'll find whoever is more deserving will become king. So they set up Ireland's next top high king, essentially.
Yeah, I love that. Love when they do that. Was Tyra Banks there?
The first ever reality show. She wasn't, but a descendant of hers was, probably.
An ancestor.
An ancient descendant. So he has a contest. The first round, they shut all the brothers in a burning forge and tell them to save whatever they can. And they decide to judge their character based on what they choose to save.
What would you save?
Oh, just probably like a picture of me or something.
A little framed photo of you.
A signed 6x4 of me.
Yeah, great. Okay.
So Niall comes out with an anvil. I don't even know what that is. Breon comes out with a sledgehammer. He saves a sledgehammer.
Okay.
Fekra comes out with Fekra, who, by the way, might be establishing himself as a bit of a legend here, and I think he should have been the king. Because
ham our sandwich. Boy just comes out. He comes out with a ham sandwich.
Even better. Guy comes out with a pail of beer.
Oh, mate.
Fella just runs out with a pint.
Love that.
Eilil?
I don't know.
Eilil? I'm going to call him Al. He comes out with a chest of weapons. And Fergus comes out with a bundle Fergus. Of wood, which we can agree is so shit.
It's so Fergus of him.
Yeah, Fergus is the biggest. No matter who wins, Fergus is a loser. Monfred's like, there's no way we're accepting this decision because everyone goes here. That anvil's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So they have a next round where they go out on a big hunt. So that's how they wanted to establish who the king was going to be, who's a great hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And they go hunting, they get a little bit hungry. The brothers are in the middle of nowhere in the countryside. And they need water. They decide they need water. And they send, I think they send Fergus out to go and get the water because he's the youngest.
Big
I think
mistake.
That's right.
He's just going to bring back wood.
Yeah, he's like, we can drink this. We're like, I can't. It's a fucking plank. You plank. So he goes to a well, but he finds that the well is guarded by what can only be described as an old hag. You know, like an old hag, like an old woman who's just...
An old crone.
A troll type woman.
Love it.
And she says to him, good banter from her. She goes, listen, you can get a bit of water from this well, but you have to give me a wee kiss.
Aww.
And I'll give you some water.
Oh,
fair's fair.
Shane, she's just lonely.
I know, but she's an hideous hag.
I know, but that's why she's lonely. And maybe she's
Yeah, but these are some good looking boys.
Exactly.
These boys are good looking.
All the more reason to want a wee kiss.
Fergus and Al say no. They're the ones who go out, they see her first, they say no, they return empty handed. They're like, absolutely not a chance. Faker goes out, he says, listen, I'm interested in the water, what about this? Gives her a quick peck on the cheek. He pisses out of it, right? He's frigid. He's frigid, he gives her a kiss on the cheek. She says, no. She's like, no, you need to give me more than that. He's like, I can't. He runs away crying. Niall, on the other hand, our boy Niall, this old hag goes, you give me a kiss, I'll give you a bit of water. Niall says, well, what do I get for a good old-fashioned fuck? Because Niall just starts getting wired into her.
Wow.
Yeah, he's getting off with her. He takes her clothes off and he lies with her under the stars.
Lovely.
Gives her Ireland's first big old dirty shift.
I love that. Was it the back of a disco?
He just absolutely
One imagines there was a disco nearby. The faint sounds of Peter Andre floating by on the wind.
Yeah.
Those coloured lights through the windows. Oh, that's so sweet. I'm actually genuinely really glad that she got a shag in there, actually.
Well, here's what happens. Niall wakes up in the morning with her her in his arms. He wakes up to the most beautiful maiden. The most beautiful woman you've ever seen in your life. Wow. She was an enchantress. She was a trickster. She says to Niall, listen, not only are you getting a big pint of water here, but you're going to have the kingship of Ireland. Not just you, but for many generations, 26 of your descendants are going to be high kings. And she says, remember Faker gave her a wee smooch just on the cheek? She goes, listen, we'll give you a wee bit of something. Two of your descendants are going to be high kings and the other frigids get absolutely nothing.
Nothing for you, lads, you cold-hearted bastards. Now, come here, hold on. Just so we're clear. Niall shagged her.
Yeah.
And he gets to be High King and 26 of his descendants will also be King of Ireland. That must have been some fuck.
Well, it just goes to show you that if you...
What, Shane? What does it go to show? Please tell me.
That when an old hag troll woman asks you for a kiss in return for a bit of water, don't be afraid to go for a snog.
Don't be afraid to just go all the way.
So it was a prophecy sort of thing. It was an old stinking dirty old troll woman prophecy.
Love one of those.
And I was going to say the rest of them fucked it, but literally Niall did.
Yeah.
Niall got the water, and what we're going to do is stop for a water, a tea, a coffee, whatever you want, and we're going to come back after these messages.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hazel, Niall of the Nine Hostages. We've got a bit of background on him. He has a penchant for the older woman.
Oh.
He's won the contest to be the High King of Ireland. He's Ireland's next top king.
Next top High King. Love it.
Next top High King.
Yeah.
I-N-T-H-K. I mean, it doesn't work.
It doesn't roll off the tongue, but like, we'll work on the marketing. All I have to say is... I'm beside myself for Niall. I didn't see this story going this way. It's a bit of a fairy tale so far.
Here's where we were. Niall has become High King of Ireland because he's had sex with an old lady.
Yeah.
And his brothers have established themselves as like local kings.
The lads.
That's still pretty good. They're getting taken care of. Jobs for the boys.
Wee bit of nepotism.
Yeah, 100%. Especially Fergus. How's Fergus
fucking
a local king?
Fergus. I'm... livid, honestly. Fucking Fergus and his wood.
Probably MDF too. Probably wasn't even good wood. Breon rules the province of Connaught, but here's the thing. We're going to get a little internal here. Remember I told you there's a bit of family drama?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when you've got five boys, all with titles, their heads are going to butt.
Yeah.
For sure, heads are going to butt.
There'll be some scraps. There'll be a few bruises.
So Breon rules the province of Connaught, but Faker makes war against him.
Oh.
Breon beats him and hands him over as a prisoner to Niall. So he's basically said, listen, you're the High King. I'm going to give you respect. Our brother tried to overthrow me. I'm not going to kill him. I'm going to give him over to you.
Okay.
Classy move. Classy move.
Classy.
From Breon.
And also, hostage number one.
But here's the thing.
Oh, no.
Faker's son, who's called Naith I, right? Which I'm just going to call him Naith because I think Naith's a pretty cool name.
Yeah.
He continues the war. So Breon's like, thank God I've got rid of my brother. Then his nephew comes along. He's like, here, I'll fight you, you dick. And eventually kills Breon. Naith kills Breon. Faker and Al at one point are like doing a lot of stuff together. You know, they defeat Munster in a battle because these boys are running Connaught. They defeat Munster in a battle. And at one point, Al gets captured and literally cut to pieces.
Oh, Jesus.
So because of that, there's a big war between Munster and Connaught for many years. Although, thankfully, no, it's just in a rugby pitch. Now, according to sources, there was a war between Niall and the King of Leinster. Now, who would be the modern day King of Leinster? Leinster's Dublin, right?
Who's the modern day King of Leinster? Like Brian O'Driscoll?
Right. Right, yeah, fair enough. So Niall and the modern day equivalent to Brian O'Driscoll.
Nice.
This guy has a name that looks like it should be said Eochid McEnny. I'm going to call him Clive.
Yeah.
Right, so
yeah.
Clive is the King of Leinster. He's named as Niall's killer in a lot of sources, although the circumstances for it vary. A lot of sources do agree, though, that Niall died outside of Ireland. Some people say that he was killed on the English Channel. Some people say Niall was killed invading Brittany when this happened. So, you know, let's just say he did a little bit of travelling as well, which
was nice.
Fair,
yeah.
The sort of battle with Clive begins when Clive is refused hospitality by Niall's poet. He's doing a bit of travel. Niall's poet won't take him in. So apparently he makes war, destroys Niall's poet's stronghold, kills his son. So all these accounts basically say Niall was at war with Leinster, but they make peace on the condition that Clive's handed over. So Niall gets the upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
Niall gets Clive, chains him to a standing stone, and sends 9 warriors to execute him. So again, with the 9 theme, right, which I'm going to come on to the name at the end. But according to a source, Clive breaks free, breaks his chains off, and kills all 9 of these assassins.
Wait, was he magical?
He may well have been, but from the sounds of it, he probably wrote that story. You know what
there
I mean?
There is always like, that. There is always that, yeah.
I killed them all.
Yeah, no, I killed all of them, like broke free of my chains, killed them all.
Yeah, and he apparently executed Niall's poet by throwing a stone which lodged in his forehead. So, you know, it was definitely a rocky relationship. Anyway, Niall exiles the King of Leinster to Scotland. Mm-hmm. And this is where the story becomes even more confused. Niall starts a war in Europe, all over Europe. We know that Niall did travel and probably did start wars because there was a lot of Roman silver coins found in County Londonderry near me in 1854 that suggested that Niall and his boys had raided the Romans, which is pretty sweet.
He gets around, does our Niall?
He gets around in more ways than one, let's just say.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
His body is apparently buried in County Meath. He was succeeded by, get ready for it, Naith.
Oh, Naith's back. Okay.
Brian Boru, our boy, eventually overthrows Niall's family. The
Oh, O'Neill. So he came in just after all this?
No, I think down the line.
Oh, okay.
But the O'Neills ruled for so long and Brian Boru was the one who overthrew that dynasty. So Niall of the 9 hostages, one of the reasons he might have got that name is they say that when he became the High King, he received 5 hostages from the 5 province of Ireland,
okay,
and 1 each from Scotland, the Saxons, the Britons and the Franks. So it might have been he received those 9 hostages. Other accounts say that lesser kings sent their sons to his court, you know, 9 of them,
mm-hmm,
not as hostages, but more as like a symbol of their, what would you say, like their bending the knee.
Not hostages, just like interns.
Just interns, just work experience
boys. Just there for the summer, till they go back to college.
Now, Hazel, it's time for the curveball. Do you think you can handle what I'm about to tell you?
Probably.
I don't think you can, and I don't think the listeners can.
Hold on, hold on. Let's just check. Michelle, can you handle this? Kelly, can you handle this? Shane, can you handle this?
I honestly think this may be the best curveball in a historical story of
this
all time.
This better be so good.
Niall loved taking hostages, we know that. Yes. He liked to receive hostages. No matter what the source for his name was, we know in some way he took hostages.
Okay.
According to folklore, his most famous hostage was a man known as Sukat, better known as St. Patrick.
Maywin Sukat?
Yeah, St. Patty himself. Niall apparently took St. Patrick as a hostage. Theoretically, if it wasn't for Niall taking hostages, we might have all been eaten by snakes. Because he would have stopped St. Patty getting all the snakes out of Ireland.
Absolutely. Which, I mean, of course, in my episode, we proved there were never any snakes in Ireland. That said, rolling with the idea that there were, yes, let's completely give all credit for that to Niall.
Don't we love it when historical figures we talk about crossover?
I've done
two crossovers. I brought you St. Patrick. I brought you Brian Boru.
It feels like when Angel left Buffy at the end of season 3, and then like you thought you were done, and then whole Angel spin-off. But then sometimes Buffy would just fucking show up in Angel,
right,
and you would just lose your shit. That's what it feels like.
You know what's weird is also another hostage he took. You're not going to believe this, Ronan Keating.
I knew. That's what I
know.
Another one.
I don't know. That's one of those ones they're not sure about, but they think Ronan. That might have been. Yeah. They said, Ronan, if you go anywhere near Niall, he might take you as hostage. And Ronan said, no matter what they tell us,
that's
a 7 out of 10, Ronan, for me. That's a 7 out of 10.
That's good. No, it's good.
It's amazing how you can speak right to my heart.
What's amazing is that this isn't the Valentine's episode and you're serenading me.
So look, I'm going to talk about Niall's legacy and his descendants. Now,
please do.
He was the founder of the most powerful Irish royal dynasty like of all time.
Power Rangers.
His descendants ruled, remember the old woman in her prophecy? His descendants ruled Ireland for 6 centuries after his death, which is a lot considering.
That's a lot of centuries, given that there haven't really been that many.
There hasn't. Hazel, that's one thing we always say in the podcast. There hasn't been that many centuries.
There just haven't been that many centuries.
There are so many descendants of Niall. Niall, the High King of Ireland. Niall of the 9 Hostages. There is so much research about this, as will blow your mind. But they basically, in 2006, scientists found out that Niall may have been the most... The word's fecund, it means like the most fertile, like you have loads of descendants guy.
So hold on,
come
here.
History.
Do you think like me and you were probably related? That's what I'm saying. In some way?
Well, I looked at a map based on this. It's the first time in my life I've ever looked at a map. And
I just wish we had footage of this, whatever this is you're about to say.
I had a magnifying glass on and a deerstalker hat. And it's a lot of it in modern day Northern Ireland where his descendants are. So let me break this down for you. He's apparently second only to Genghis Khan worldwide for the amount of descendants he has.
And I think we all know, Shane, that Genghis had quite a few descendants.
Well, Niall also has loads. In Northwest Ireland, as many as 1/5 of men have a common Y chromosome that lies within the haplogroup R1b. What that means is 1 in 12 men in Ireland have this genetic signature, and as many as 3 million men worldwide might be his descendants. Get ready for this. The name O'Neill, one of the most common, maybe the most common Irish surname, literally means descendant son of Niall.
Oh yeah, O'Neill from Niall.
Anytime we talk about the O'Neills, the O'Neill family, the ruling family of Ireland, in our podcast, we're talking about descendants of Niall.
My mind is fucking blown.
Basically, I'm thinking it's a wonder this guy had time to take us. This is the amount of curtain he was done. What's he getting up to, like? Let me ask you, speaking of descendants and people being related to people, let me ask you this, to leave Niall with the 9 Hostages where it is. Hazel, are you related to anyone famous that you know of?
Just myself.
No one in the family, no one like a distant relation. Like, come on, like we're from Ireland.
I think you're
related to someone from Boyzone or something.
Oh gosh, no. I mean, I will say this: I grew up near a lot of people who became famous.
Give us the best one.
The best one? Well, like Damien Dempsey lived two doors down from me. Damo, yeah. Still does.
Okay.
He's a good lad. Keith Duffy lived quite nearby.
Do you know Damien Dempsey?
Yeah, he's my neighbour.
Maybe we could get him on the podcast down the line.
Oh my God. Yeah, 100% we can get him on the podcast. He fucking loves Irish history.
Class.
He also, here's a nice sync up to what we were discussing at the beginning. He sings a song, which I think is called Maasai, or about the Maasai people. And I was recently in the Maasai Mara in Kenya. And I was like, where do I know that word from? Maasai. I was like, it's from that fucking Damien Dempsey song. And it's about all the people who got colonised. And the Maasai were one of them. And I'm like, my neighbour wrote this song. And now I'm in the Maasai Mara with the Maasai people. And that was really cool.
Hazel, I can't see for the amount of links in front of me.
There's so many links.
Listeners, if it's safe to do so, get a machete out and try and cut through the wreaths of these links that we have laid out in this episode. Oh my God.
There's too many. I don't even know where to begin.
Abraham Lincoln over here, like we're bringing it all together.
Can I just ask, did you bring this up so that you could tell me what famous person you were related to?
I don't know of anyone.
You're pretty famous.
Yeah, no one's more famous than me and my family, Jesus Christ, but I just think that's funny that, like, you know, there's that old adage in Ireland of, oh, we're all related, but, like, we kind of are. And
yeah,
it's
you
because...
can't, you really can't swing a cat for Irish people or people who know or like Irish people or have some story about Irish.
You said you can't swing a cat for people that are related to Ireland, but, you know, that's because Niall was swinging a cat.
Hey!
You know, hey-o. A very old troll. Pussy, that's so bad I've said that. But fair play to him for doing that. We appreciate
fair
it, brother.
Play,
otherwise, wouldn't
Niall.
Be here.
I also wonder, you know how we brought up Turkey a lot and we found a couple of Turkish Merhaba. Listeners?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if we have any listeners in Kenya.
Oh,
and
I'm sure
we
do.
If maybe they could get in touch with us via the email.
I'm sure we do. Our email is hello@nothistorians.com.
That's the one. Hello@nothistorians.com. This is very niche. If you're living in the Mara and you listen to this podcast, I would be only too happy. I would be over the fucking moon to hear from you.
We have heard from some people, including Michelle Brown, getting in touch an email.
We have.
She says hello and then starts a new line, which is a touch of class. Regarding the most recent episode on Bram Stoker, Hazel mentioned the legend of the evil elf that was buried upside down somewhere in Derry. There is a movie based on that premise you might be interested in called Boys from County Hell. I've actually heard of it.
The Hour Talk. That was him, the troll, the Hour Talk.
Ah, that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, no, not that. A different troll. He was the one that they had to fucking kill and then they hung him upside down and he kept coming back. Yeah. Like the original vampire dude.
Yeah, Michelle Brown says it's sort of a lighthearted horror movie, if that makes sense. Not the best movie, but I've certainly seen worse. I have heard of this movie. I think I know some of the actors that are in it. So I'll check that out. But I like that because we always talk about, if we were doing a film of this and that, but people are already beating us to it.
They're beating us to it. They've already made them. I like Cheers how she says Michelle. It's not the best film, as though any part of me was expecting to go into that experience and see the best film.
Do you know what's the best film of all time? Categorically, the best film of all time.
If you're going to say Beverly Hills Cop again.
The one about the little troll that's buried upside down in Derry. Like, it's not definitely not going to be the best movie of all time.
I really thought you were going to say Beverly Hills Cop.
Well, Beverly Hills Cop 2 probably is. Last thing, I know the producer told us not to read this. Hannah sent an email with a subject line, just said, Gabriel Byrne, not dead. Now, here's the thing. We were talking about Gay Byrne.
We were talking about two different men named Gay Byrne. Gabriel Byrne is an actor. He was in The Usual Suspects.
Yes.
Gay Byrne, presenter of The Late Late Show, has sadly passed away. Lord rest his
soul. Yes,
but
Gabriel Byrne is alive and kicking.
Alive and kicking, unless this podcast goes out at a time when Gabriel Byrne has sadly passed, in which case, Lord rest his soul.
Yes, 100%. Okay. And by the way, do you know what I love? Finn, our producer's got in touch to say, by the way, we've had 44 downloads in Kenya this month. And that's true, and I love that.
We've had 44 downloads in Kenya. Most of those were me while I was there.
Yeah.
I just downloaded every episode twice.
Were you just forcing per like tour guides taking you around to download the podcast?
As if it's not bad enough that the fucking British gave them such a hard time. Then I went over converting them to this podcast.
Look, we appreciate all the correspondence, all the emails. Get in touch if you would like to. And we are on social media platforms, aren't we, Hazel?
We are on all of the platforms, the plats, as you might call them. No one ever has, but I might start it. I'm the Hazel Hayes. You are Shane Todd or Shane Todd Comedy. You can also rate the podcast, like, subscribe, say nice things, share it with your friends, share it with your family.
Yeah, and just remember, I was going to say, remember until next time, we're not fucking historians, but I think just for 1 week only, I'm going to change the final message to just say, just remember, Gabriel Byrne, alive, Gay Byrne, unfortunately passed.
Yeah, I think that's a good one to remember. And I'm going to sign off with goodbye in two languages. So I'm going to say slán. We're also going to say kwaheri, which is goodbye in Swahili, for our 44 Kenyan listeners.
Go on, the Kenyans.
Go on, the Kenyans. On the town.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Biggest animal you shot?
Was it elephant?
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Hey marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.